Welcome. This is James Corbett of The Corbett Report. It is the 20th of October 2011 here in Japan, and today I am talking to Morgan Lesko, the founder of Wiki World Order at wikiworldorder.com and youtube.com/wikiworldorder. He is a longtime supporter of The Corbett Report, so it's great to have him on the program today for his maiden voyage. So, Morgan, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure, James. Thank you for all your work, and thank you for having me.
Well, excellent. Well, I wanted to get you on today because I noticed you've got new videos up on Wiki World Order about your experiences at Occupy Sacramento. Looks like some very interesting things were happening down there. So perhaps you can give us an overview of some of the sights and sounds of what's happening down there.
Sure thing, James. So the first day, I took more of a media participant role, and I brought a sign down and did a lot of video footage. I took a lot of video footage throughout the day, and I compiled that night, and the next day got it uploaded pretty fast. But after work on Friday, I went back down with the intention to get arrested that night, to basically stand for our right to assemble in this public park. So it didn't play out that well, and Saturday somebody else ended up getting arrested, and I had to find a place to sleep in Sacramento, but it was fine and fun and a good adventure. But Saturday I really took on a lot more responsibility with the whole encampment, and I started building an information booth where we both gave out our sort of official information, things that are directly from our media tent or decided upon from the General Assembly. And then another half of the table, which I sort of called need some info, take some info, have some info, leave some info. And that worked out really well. And it was a great way to visibly show people who had only heard the mainstream version of what was going on that we have people dropping off Tea Party magazines and socialist flyers at the same table. And all are welcome. And we have a lot to agree upon, you know.
Right, yeah, I think that is important to stress because a lot of people have gotten carried away with trying to portray this as one thing or another when I think it's still very much in flux. So again, it really depends on what we make of it at this point. So
yeah.
So tell us a little bit about, I guess, walk us through your experiences there and some of the people you met and what your overall impression of what's going on down there is.
Well, first, a lot of the core volunteers who are there most days of the week, as you know, I sort of think every time I'm there, I see them there. and I've been spending a fair amount of time. They remind me a lot of some of the best activists that I've worked with in my past. And the organizing abilities, even though we're off to, sort of a slow start and extra rough in Sacramento since we're working so hard just to be allowed to occupy, we've had that's really cut into a lot of our time we would have otherwise spent, you know, drafting real writing on grievances and solutions that we support, demands. So we've had a lot of adversity, a lot more, even though the police side's been great, we've had a lot of mutual respect with the police. That's been, I don't know how unique it is, but it's not headline worthy.
Right. Well, I understand that certainly you want to do this in a way that's going to be productive and that you're not just going to all get rounded up and carted off for not having the proper permits and everything and all of that. But at a certain point, I mean, isn't all of that sort of designed to distract from the actual activism and the point of what you're doing anyway? I mean, isn't that the point of all of the hoops that you have to jump through in order to just occupy a spot?
Exactly. It's pretty ridiculous. And it does seem to have a bit of a chilling effect on people wanting to join us. If they're not interested at all, then it gives them a point to gripe at us saying you're wasting city resources, getting arrested every night. We took a few nights off before the council meeting last week, I know. You know, it's sort of we had made our point and we wanted to wait for the council meeting. But we haven't made much progress and we're just fighting for that basic right to assemble in a free park.
Right. Well, you talked about the General Assembly. Perhaps you can give us a better idea of how this is really working and the facilitators and all of that kind of stuff. What's the mechanics of how this protest is going?
Sure. So at least at our encampment, we have pretty much rotating facilitators who, and we vote for everything that's relatively important by a 2/3 majority. And we sort of have a consensus model. You know, we wave our hands to agree, and we do like this to disagree, and then this if, like, that's so really offensive, we need to work out an issue now, and this if we have a point of information to add, these kind of things, this if you're off topic. So we have a pretty decent system, and there's it's slow for a lot of the newcomers to pick up, but it has worked out really well, and we have been able to decide what directions to take, and we've been taking it a step at a time, but each step is very thoughtful, and we're starting to spread the process out more and sort of save more important votes for Saturdays when the most people show up, and we're taking very close counts of votes. I've been impressed with some of the votes, counting votes up to like 100-something, and just all by hand, but it's pretty impressive, and it's very equal. Everybody has a voice. Everybody has a chance to go up there and make their point and try to, you know, and it's a meta. You can offer meta solutions too, where you're not just talking about what we want to do, but how we're deciding things right now. You know, so I was there for a vote when we voted to vote by 2/3 in the future. So everything's on the table, and everybody's, for the most part, people are respectful. And there have been a few incidents that the local news were quick to feature on their news segments of people getting into arguments and sort of not following the procedure that everybody's agreed upon and is allowed to request to be edited.
Well, I certainly do admire your enthusiasm, and it is infectious. But I mean, playing devil's advocate here, doesn't it give you pause for thought how this system of facilitators and the hand signals and everything has been implemented pretty much universally, pretty much in protests not just in the U.S. but in many countries around the globe? Within a matter of weeks, this supposedly spontaneous movement has come about and been organized. Doesn't it give you at least a bit of pause for thought about how this is being organized and by whom?
It does a bit, but I have in my past, for the past 10 years, my primary activist focus has been on drug policy reform, and some of our best chapters have actually used this similar model with great success and trying to keep it non-hierarchical. It does seem that some of the bigger cities are getting more co-opted. Of course, we see a lot more of that in Wall Street, of course. I just had a new friend who came up the train from LA yesterday, right after people, like right around the time people were getting arrested. And he explained that in LA, it felt like all the celebrities were sort of co-opting and it was just all getting very fake and silly very fast. But so far in Sacramento, it's been relatively small. And I think part of that is that we don't have that permanent encampment and we can't really have that endless hub of activity and interaction, but we haven't. A lot of us have been looking out really closely for at least obvious co-op sort of operatives, you know. And it's been pretty good in Sacramento from what we can see. And there's a few great minds there that I just really love that are focused on ending the Fed. And all the issues that are core to me and what I've gained from years of listening to you. So,
right. Well, I was talking to Christopher Porter and Lawrence McCurry recently of the Canadian Action Party and the Occupy Victoria and Occupy Toronto movements, respectively. And they were talking about how the facilitators seem to be people that weren't really known to the activists. I mean, these are people who've been in the activist movement for a long time in those areas, and they didn't know who these people were or where they'd come from. How about in Sacramento? Do you know a lot of these people from your activist work?
I'm afraid not, and it's partially just because I'm fairly new to the area. I moved to Davis about a year ago, and so I haven't. This is my first jump into activism in Sacramento. So it's tough for me to tell, but I am getting more and more curious as the weeks roll on to sort of find out more about some of the, you know, more dedicated organizers.
Right. Well. Certainly, everyone is sort of bringing their own political ideology and everything to the table at these movements. So talk about a little bit about yourself and really, what do you think this Occupy movement is about or should be about?
Right on. I felt from day one that the most unifying theme was getting money out of politics, and I think the language that our General Assembly agreed upon was, you know, one of our main talking. We're trying to come up with bullet points so we can really explain to people who are only getting mainstream news what we're about. And repeal of Citizens United is up there. But I really think that, you know, that's the obvious starting point. But our system was so bought so long before that why would we stop there? And so I'm full for dramatic campaign finance reform as the closest thing I can come up with as a golden bullet. If I had to ask for one solution, it would be for clean elections at the local, state, and federal levels. And then from there, I feel we have a fighting chance to start steering the ship on all the other issues, like ending the Fed, ending the corporate bailouts, derivatives, fractional reserve banking, you know, all these core things. But
well, I think you're right. I mean, I think the electoral reform and making sure that the clean elections take place is so fundamental to any sort of semblance of a system that makes sense. And people, I know, get very cynical about elections, and they should. I mean, they are so bought and paid for at this point. But the point isn't just simply to accept that and just to go apathetically through life. I think the point is to try to restore something that resembles democracy. And I know that word has become even a dirty word among this movement for some reason, because people think that it's actually contrasted to a republic, but they actually go together. But anyway, so, I mean, that's extremely interesting to hear that perspective, and I think I agree with it. And I know that you stress peaceful revolution as the real key to what's going on, and I agree totally on that part. I think violence is definitely not the answer, but of course it raises the question, or at least the possibility, if infiltrators do get into this and start making this into a violent movement, where do we go from there? And I don't think that's a bridge we want to cross. So I guess the question is, I mean, are you concerned about that? What can we do about that before it comes to that point?
That's a great question. I've been so busy at this occupation, I haven't had time to find out about the violence that started in Europe during these occupations. But at least for us, I think our we'll start having more concern once we get into the thousands on a regular basis. Right now, like at our peak, we have several hundred, maybe 1,000. But that's not all the time. Most of the time, it's like 100 to 300 people. And then that's only the hours we're allowed to stay in the park. We have to be out by 11 p.m. on weekdays, 12 p.m., midnight on weekends. And then I think we're allowed back at 5 a.m. But
occupy when you're allowed to occupy.
It's pretty ironic. But we really stress the peacefulness every meeting, you know, like every General Assembly, like we explicitly talk about peace isn't just about actions. You know, you have to have nonviolent communication. Like violence can be in the form of words too, especially dealing with the police, but also dealing with each other. So we've been very quick to break up. There were a couple issues that there was someone trying to start fires on the first day or two that I heard about, which sounded classic. And those were caught immediately, and they were kicked out. You know, you don't get our one rule, you know. So it's
unfortunate, but yeah, it's true. I mean, I think the protesters have to police each other as much as they have to watch out for the police. And it is a delicate line to walk in so many different ways, because it can be taken off the rails so quickly and so easily, unfortunately. That again is an important aspect to all of this. Let me lay something out on the table for you, and you can give your take on it. Basically, I think that the point of these Occupy movements, as you point out, I mean, it's ridiculous and ironic that you're being told that you can occupy from this time to this time on these days and things like that. I mean, the whole point of an Occupy movement is to say, these are our streets, this is our park, we can do what we want. So it's kind of self-defeating to give into that. But on the other hand, I understand that if you make it a confrontational thing with police, they're going to win in the end, and the system's going to win in the end, because they've got the jackbooted thugs, and you're not going to beat them at their game. So to me, that speaks to the idea that ultimately what this has to be about is a revolution of the mind, because once we are able to really truly effect a change in ourselves, we live, breathe, eat, and sleep freedom and liberty, and they can't take that away from us no matter what they do. And when we express that in our everyday lives, not just when we go to a park and hang out with people, but in our everyday day-to-day lives, that's when we win.
Yeah. Well said. Well said. I've been feeling it a lot in the form of our teach-ins and educational workshops. That has felt really powerful and very, just the right level of organic growth. Yeah, and the variety of topics, just from American history to, you know, just talking about the Federal Reserve or talking about how to form a resolution with a committee. You know, one of these more administrative, legislative, you know, this very core democracy process. So a lot of that is very inspiring, and I'm starting to, you know, every day of this movement, I feel more and more optimistic of that and like that kind of revolution happening than the violent one.
Well, tell us about the teach-ins and what kind of things that people are informing each other about.
Well, I haven't been to enough yet myself. I've been splitting my time between sort of volunteering and trying to document and record things. So I haven't been to as many as I would like. Yeah, they're trying to get more teach-ins about how to, like, preserve food, grow your own food, fix your bike, fix your car if you have one, and that kind of thing. There's been requests for that. I haven't heard about them happening yet, but we're trying to get, like, a very full 360 of skills people can learn. And I did actually hear some testimony last night at the city council hearing that we had been starting to try to train homeless people in ways that they can get jobs, you know, skills that they can get jobs with. So that has been one thing I have heard about, but I haven't seen firsthand. But.
Well, that is encouraging to hear that people are at least requesting that, and I certainly hope it does take place, because I personally would attend the Occupy even if just for that kind of thing and learning skills that we can use to take ourselves off the grid, which I think, again, is another absolutely central key to actually winning this game instead of just playing the losing side of the game all the time. So absolutely, very interesting. So I guess you're obviously not there right now. Any plans to go back? And if so, in what capacity?
Yes, I'm actually going to leave to go back in about an hour and a half. And because we're so upset about the city council meeting we went to yesterday, where they heard us, but it fell on deaf ears, and it was pretty disappointing. I guess that, you know, we had a big presence. We filled up the hall last week as well, and this week we had like 40 people talk for 1 or 2 minutes, and you know, 95% of them made very cogent arguments that I thought were well delivered, and the mayor offered to open a dialogue or expand our dialogue and come to the park and work on a resolution that he could take for us to Washington. And that turned a lot of us way off. And then there were only two council members that showed any sort of like that spoke at all after we spoke about this. And they were only willing to come to sort of a compromise where like, oh, well, you can leave your infrastructure tense up with your media stuff. But maybe a couple personnel, like a couple volunteers that are running it overnight. But other than that, no occupation, no camping, you know. So we had 9 people arrested again last night, and I will be going to get arrested again tonight. At 11, just after 11 p.m. Pacific. So,
well, it's sad that we have to do this, but I think we do have to do it. We do have to start putting ourselves in the gears and clogging up the machinery of the system, and that's ultimately how it's done. Civil disobedience. So, my hat's off to you and all the people who are going in there knowing they're going to be arrested and doing it anyway, because I think it is something we have to do. If we don't exercise our rights, we're going to lose them. So. So there's a lot of hopeful things going on with these protests that I think that do indicate the possibility of change. But I think anyone who remembers the 2008 election will remember how much value we can put in words like hope and change. So until something starts really coalescing around this, I think I'll personally reserve my judgment. But that doesn't mean that I think people shouldn't be involved. I think they have to be involved and engaged with this to try to make it into something useful. So absolutely very interesting, and I'm certainly looking forward to more coverage of this on Wiki World Order. And while we're on the subject, perhaps you can tell people about your website.
Oh, sure. Well, I started wikiworldorder.com about a year ago. It's sort of my way of going back to school. I gave up on the... I was self-taught through most of school. In college, I skipped class, took the tests, and got it done. But I teach myself most things. So this is my way of going back to school and studying all the topics that I want to in depth, and then having a creative outlet to experiment with animation and you know, things I've just wanted to do for years. And so it's been wonderful and therapeutic and helpful. You know, if only my friends watch it, I'm happy, just so they understand where I'm coming from, and fostering that dialogue. And now that Occupy has begun and you know, sort of the first revolution, we have a chance to try to steer in the direction we want, you know. And I feel like it's our responsibility to, just like you said, like whether it's going to work or not, I think it's sort of our responsibility to just go and try, you know, because it is an open forum. It's more of an open forum system than we've, you know, than our official system. And so we might as well give it a shot. So I'm having fun to try a different kind of, you know, blog and video presentation to be a more on-the-scene reporter. So it's been fun, and while participating, so I'm very biased, but...
Yeah, but I think, personally, and I think people who've watched my reports obviously know this, I think the idea of objectivity of the reporter is itself a canard that the corporate media has put before us. Oh, look, we're so objective, but they're biased in every single possible way, right down to the selection of what news stories they will or won't show. And I think if reporters are just open with their bias, then you know where they're coming from. So there's the bias isn't a problem at that point. Anyway, another topic altogether, but certainly very interesting. And it's very, very, very easy for people to snipe at things like the Occupy movement and say, oh, it's all controlled, and so it's all going to be for nothing. But it's very, very difficult to actually go out there and do something that will hopefully do affect change in the future. So my hat's off to people who are actually involved in trying to do something, because if we don't try, we're going to lose. So Morgan Lesko, it's a pleasure talking to you, and I certainly hope that we can continue to get updates from Occupy Sacramento as you continue to go there.
I'd be more than happy to. Thank you so much, James, for all your work.
You're welcome. Talk to you later.
Talk to you later.